This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab that cuppa and sit down for Conversations with the Mayor. Join in now as Taran speaks with our region's leaders.
Morena and welcome back to Conversations with the Mayor on Art FM. My name is Taran and today we have the lovely Neil Voltsky, Mayor of the Stratford District Council, in the studio with us. Morena, Neil, how are you?
Oh, very well, thanks, Taran. It's nice to be back in the studio with you.
It is lovely to have you back in the studio with me, especially after what has been a busy last week for you. You've been down in Wellington, haven't you?
Last week we were down in Wellington at the rural and provincial meeting for local government, and that's an event where most of the mayors and chief executives get together, and there's a lot of discussion around really topical things.
So tell us, what was top of the list for topical discussions at local government?
Well, I don't think you get any brownie points for guessing this particular time, because it's pretty obvious what's occupying most of our time at the moment, and that is the discussions around reorganisation of local government right across the country.
Yep, that's right. And I imagine for rural councils, that's a bit more of a headache than it would be for, say, urban ones.
Well, maybe. I think it's a headache for everybody. I mean, this is part of the process that was started in December last year when the government announced reforms in the sector. And from that date till now, we've had the opportunity to make submissions. The government has considered those. And then last Tuesday, well, about a fortnight ago, actually, they released their final proposal, which took into account those submissions. And I think the general view is that they have actually addressed some of the concerns that were raised. There's a number of significant changes that have been made, and a couple of new things thrown in just to toss in a curveball. And as a result of that, we're now in a position that we've got an opportunity to do some work in the next couple of months, which we're all hard at.
It's a tight window. It was 12 weeks from the day they announced it, wasn't it? 12 weeks to come up with a
head start. Yeah, well, it is. But I think there's two or three things, I think, if you just sort of want to recap there at the moment. Firstly, there was a proposal to put the, in our case, the three mayors in charge of the regional council. That's not something that any of us wanted to do. It's not something we put our name forward for in October to do that. And so we submitted accordingly, and so did Local Government New Zealand. And the government has listened, and they've removed that provision from the reform. So what that means in practice is that the regional council will continue to exist until October 2028, and the people who were elected to run that council at our last election will remain in office until that same date. So they'll see out their term, and rightfully so. They were elected to do that, and the government's recognised that. So for the time being, in regards of regional activities, it's pretty much business as usual until October, when those 2028, when those activities get transferred across to the local government, the territorial authorities, or the new councils that come from this reorganisation.
I guess we have 12 weeks to come up with a proposal, then that goes to central government to approve or not?
So it's we were given a bit of a heads up some time back that there might be the short window of opportunity, I think you call it, whereby councils might be given a chance to put forward their own proposals. I don't think we, when I say we, the mayors collectively thought that it would be such a short window or narrow time frame. and we didn't think it was going to come quite so quickly, so we got a little bit surprised about that. However, the reality is we've got a 12-week period, which we're already 2 weeks into, whereby we can, as a group, look at the options in front of us for reorganising local government in our region. And if we come up with a proposal, we can put that forward, and there's some timelines, which I'll come back to in a moment. But we can put that proposal forward. That would be our preference.
Yep.
And if you don't do that and don't put forward a proposal, then the government will just go back to the default position and, and set those rules for you. So the kind of summary statement I think that Minister Chris Bishop put out was come up with something of your own or we will do it for you.
Yeah, he was.
So he made that pretty clear.
That's
a clear ultimatum. So in Taranaki, we've taken the view that we will certainly look at the options of our choice.
Yeah.
If we don't get any of them over the line or can't agree, then the bottom line is that there'll still be some change coming,
but
it won't be necessarily what we all want.
Mm.
So I think that's a pretty strong reason to actually get cracking and put something forward.
Yeah, I agree. Have you guys met since the announcement of the Head Start pathway?
I'd have to say yes on multiple occasions. We certainly had a discussion at the Merrill Forum that was last week. We've had a number of informal chats since, and there's some further meetings planned for this week, and the Merrill Forum meets again in the next few days, and again a couple of weeks later. So, so we're certainly having those discussions and trying to frame up some ideas. There is a point in time, once we've gotten to a certain point where we've actually got some options that we've looked at, once we gel those up a little bit, then we'll be looking to get some community engagement as well.
Good. That's
so
really
that people
important.
Can have a say and offer some direction is what they think we should do. That's been happening a little bit now. Up until now, we've been using sort of anecdotal things, feedback from the public at large, certainly been listening to what we've been hearing from other parties. There's a number of stakeholders we've talked to.
Yes,
and there'll
indeed.
Be some more to talk to.
Yep.
As we kind of formulate these options, and then once we've got some choices in place, we will make some sort of decision around what we think is best.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll submit to government.
Now, is it a decision you all have to agree on and submit as one unit, or can you say submit separately?
No, you can't. If you go back to the one of the key reasons that the government has put these reforms in front of us is to reduce the number of councils in New Zealand. Currently there's 67 territorial authorities, there's three in Taranaki of course, and there's 11 regional authorities.
Yeah.
So in all up there's 78, and so they've signalled their intent by removing or intending to remove the regionals, which will of course reduce that number by 11. And then they've said if you want to put forward a proposal to us, you require two or more councils to do that.
Two or more. Okay.
So a single council can't put forward a proposal of its own accord.
Yeah.
It needs, you need two councils. So that means in Taranaki, we could put forward a proposal on behalf of all three, or we could put forward a proposal just with two councils.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm.
Really interesting.
And so inherently that would mean that the number of councils across the country, if everybody did that and there were councils with, well, two councils putting forward proposals, inherently you're going to halve the number of councils, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes, yeah.
And in some areas, of course, they're actually very keen, they're quite well advanced. There are some councils that have got actual merger proposals going through the process now with the local government commission. And so this will just be an add-on to that. Yeah. And some of those might involve three or perhaps even four councils.
So. Wow, okay. So the feedback I've heard is there seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, two options. One council for the whole of Taranaki, a unitary council, or say a urban council, a rural council, or a north and south council.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think they weren't the only options. However, and I have seen some documentation that suggested that, you know, there's as many as sort of 10 or so options.
Oh, wow.
But they're only variations on each other.
Okay.
And some of them are not much more than an academic kind of analysis that said these are what you could do when you actually apply them to the region, and then the reality of it, what you just described is the reality.
Mm.
So I think it's important that we don't put the cart before the horse and do our background research. But having said that, Taranaki is quite insular. We're not overlapping into other regions like some do, and so it's a natural grouping that would either be Taranaki as a whole or Taranaki as a north-south or, as you said, urban-rural kind of split. Those are real options. And looking around the perimeter of the region, our northern neighbours, Waitomo, are looking towards Otorohanga. Ruapehu's looking towards Whanganui in the south.
Right,
and of course Whanganui's looking towards Ruapehu and Rangitike direction. So none of them are kind of looking in towards Taranaki.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I think what you just described is the reality. If we put forward something, it'll be one of those.
The other one I did see online, I think it might have been by the spin-off, was calling the boundaries by the Super Rugby boundaries. And I wasn't too sure that I wanted to be with Waikato.
Yeah, well, I don't know that anyone else would either, but especially at the moment with the Hurricanes doing so well. But I don't think we organise local government around sports. So.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. So what could... you know, Stratford's our smallest council in our region.
Yes.
What could the future look like for Stratford?
Well, in terms of size, Stratford's got about 10,500 people in the district. We've got a fairly large footprint, though. We're about 2,200 square kilometres, so we're not little in terms of size, but population-wise, obviously, we're the smallest. South Taranaki has got around about 30,000 people, and of course it's a big area, and you Plymouth's up around towards the 90,000. So, you know, collectively the region's population is not large, even compared to some of the big urban centres like Hamilton and Palmerston North. But in terms of local government, it's not a requirement that you have to have lots of people. You just have to be efficient and sustainable. So I think it's a bit of a red herring to run down the track of we haven't got enough people, we need more. The answer to that is that you need to be sustainable and efficient, and you can still get that out of smaller organisations.
Well, you can.
Yeah. So realistically, Stratford... and south, if they were to combine, you would end up with about 40,000 people and about two-thirds of the area of Taranaki. So, so that would be quite substantive. The issues that you have if you have a split council arrangement is how you deliver regional services. So regional councils' boundaries are currently drawn on the basis of river catchments. And so if you... split them, you know, how do you accommodate the fact that you need to manage rivers on a catchment basis?
Yes.
And so there are some options around the way you can do that. and we'll certainly be looking at those as part of our overall research.
Yeah, cool. And then anyway the cards fall on this, there's still opportunities underneath whatever that big structure is for things like wards and community boards and...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, clearly if you had a larger council in terms of the geographic footprint, the importance of having wards and true spread of representation, that's vital. So I don't think you'd ever see a situation whereby people were elected at large, because it would be dominated by the larger centres.
Yeah, that's right.
So that this absolutely important that the ward system truly gives everyone a chance to be heard. And community wards, they accommodate that as well. Although it's interesting, not all councils have unitary boards. Community boards.
Really?
We don't, for example. And I just came off a seminar this morning involving unitary authorities that already exist, and some of them have got really large footprints, and they don't necessarily have community boards as well.
Oh wow!
But when you do that, you need to reinforce it by strong elected members representing the people. So. There's a trade-off there.
There is. So there are like multiple options on the table.
Yes, there are. And I emphasise that they are on the table. That nothing's decided yet. We probably won't be in a position to kind of finalise things for another month or 6 weeks, I guess, because we need to talk to people. We need to analyse that information and then come up with something that we think is what best fits the region and what people want. And then when we've got that, we need to work it up a bit to present it to government.
Yeah, yeah. And it is, we're looking at the long term here, aren't we? Like our last reform was, what, 1989?
Yeah, Brian Elwood did that in 1989. I wasn't around then, of course, but... there hasn't been very many changes since. It's actually extremely difficult at the present... under the present rules, I should say, to actually change boundaries and unite councils. There's some that have been willing and wanting to do this for years. An example, South Wairarapa and Carterton and Masterton.
Yeah.
They've been looking to come together as a single council for many years, but it's actually quite a difficult, complicated process.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So this in many ways just fast tracks or facilitates those sort of things.
Wow.
But of course, as well as those who do want to join together, like those ones, there are equally as many who don't.
Yeah.
And so this is crunch time for those people.
Can you talk to me a little bit about why, like you've just been at the Local Government New Zealand meeting, why do some councils not want to join together? What's the feeling around that?
It depends on the councils, of course, and the areas, and it does vary. But if you're looking for a couple of common themes, I would say they are this. Firstly, loss of community voice.
Yes.
People really want to feel that they have a say, that they're properly represented. And people know the value of that, and they're really keen to make sure that they maintain that part of it. And the second one would be potentially the loss of identity.
Yes, yeah.
So that people, they feel connected to their own community, and the council's an integral part of that. So there's a bit of support around those two things. Funnily enough, things like rates and that, everyone wants rates to be kept down and under control, but that's not the thing that sort of sits at the top of people's mind. It's about having your say. And then there's all sorts of bits that come in and underneath that, like you might not like another council's debt, or you might not like their the way they do things.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of variations on that. But essentially, it comes down to representation and how you maintain that representation so everybody's got their say. And I guess in the case of regional New Zealand in particular, where you've got a larger urban centre and then smaller rural communities, and that pretty well describes Taranaki.
Yes, it does.
The overarching thing is that, you know, people feel that they could be dominated by those higher population numbers in the bigger centres. So, you know, that's an argument that I've heard many times from many councils, and it applies everywhere because all the regions have got a larger urban centre.
Yeah, it does indeed.
And some of them complicated, actually, because they have ones like Hawke's Bay that have Hastings and Napier. So, and then you have a council, and then to the north of them you have Wairoa, which is a small council like Stratford, and then above that to the north is Gisborne, which is a unitary, by the way. So for a little council like Wairoa, how do they not get overwhelmed by one of their larger urban neighbours?
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like when I look at this proposal for simplifying local government, the council I worry about and the identity I worry for is Stratford, because it is the smaller. And
yeah, although, you know, we're pretty open as to what the future might hold. But having said that, you know, it's not just people like Stratford. I mean, if you go into our easternmost parts, you're an hour and a half's drive from Stratford.
Yes, true.
If you live in Waverley, you're an hour and a half from New Plymouth. So in fact, Waverley, which is part of the South Taranaki district, is actually closer to Whanganui than it is to New Plymouth. So there are communities that feel removed from the bigger areas even now, and potentially more so later on. So one of the things you can do is split councils. You can take different parts of a existing council effectively change the boundaries. That would make anything that you do much more complex.
Yes, it would.
But it is possible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, how... I'm just thinking about that.
And we've got, you know, another 10 weeks left to sort this, so we should be right, you know.
You'll be sweet.
Yeah,
you'll be
sweet, fine. Yeah. I'll whip it out by the weekend, yep.
Yeah, you can do some for some other regions while you're at it now.
Yeah.
There are, as you said, with Gisborne, there are other unitary councils around Aotearoa, and some have been successful, some have not been, right?
Absolutely. I mean... probably the best known one is Gisborne, but that's a unitary. But Nelson City, Marlborough and Tasman are all unitaries.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, we've got Auckland, which was a forced unitary back in, 2012 or thereabouts?
Yes.
And which is by far the largest. And then Chatham Islands, which is by far the smallest. So there you go.
Ah, Chatham Islands is my dad's favourite place.
Yeah, so it probably makes some sense, particularly with the Chathams, because you wouldn't want two councils operating on one little island.
No, but you wouldn't.
But the others have been there for a long, long time. I think Marlborough's sort of 35 years. They've all been in that sort of time frame. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah.
And they operate successfully, I might add.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
That's good for us to keep in mind, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So what happens to things like infrastructure and investment funds and things like that?
Yeah, well, they are just some of the add-ons that make life tricky, if you like. What would happen in the current setup is that we've got this window of opportunity to put forward a proposal, which the government have labelled Head Start. That's the process we're following. And when we get to the point where we've got an option and we choose that, we put this proposal forward, and we've got 3 months to do that, and then around September the government will say whether or not your proposal is worthy of exploring.
Right.
So they'll it's a gateway, and if you get through that gateway, this is just sort of a high-level assessment. This is what we want to do. We think we've got support to do this, and this is how it might pan out. If you get through that gateway and meet the criteria that I've set, Then we've got another 6 months or so to work on a more detailed proposal.
To work out those nuts and bolts. Yeah.
Now, some of those things that you just mentioned regarding investment funds and distribution of assets and things like that, I don't think some of those things would get worked out even in 6 months. Some of those would take years to do. So you can deal with that in several ways. So we've identified these problems and we're going to work our way through them and just acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But as long as your proposals sound, the process is that Cabinet will agree to that in about March next year.
Wow.
And then introduce legislation to allow that to happen. And then once that's gone through its process and early in 2028, that legislation will become active and you can get cracking and get yourself organised for the October 2028 elections.
That's a lot of mahi.
With a new council.
With a new council.
Yeah.
It's a lot of mahi for all of you guys. Just checking. Who's paying for it?
Well, I haven't seen any putia coming forward from the government as yet, but you live in hope, you know. There's a budget at the end of the month, so who knows?
Yeah, it's not long until that rates cap kicks in, though.
In fact, at the local government New Zealand meeting we attended just in the recent days, Minister Bishop was there and we asked, if there's a carrot stick situation, what's the carrot? And we gave him an idea that some putia towards the cost of doing this would be a nice carrot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, of course, it's another unfunded mandate that really affects the bottom line.
Well, yes, of course. And don't forget that this is not happening in isolation. The Resource Management Act has a massive impact on the future of regional councils as well and what they do. So that sits there. And there are some other acts that come into play in the same time frame. We're supposed to do representation reviews, for example.
That's right.
How do we set up the wards and things like that in our existing councils? Are we going to do that knowing that we may or may not exist?
That's right. Even the LTP, the long-term
plan, same thing. Why are we actually doing a 10-year plan when potentially in 2 years from now we might not be here? And of course, the most obvious one, we've all got people working towards setting up the new water services entities.
Oh yes, so they're
quietly taking apart the existing services to put together the new one. And of course, if councils were to amalgamate, whichever formula you use, these groups are going to have to come back together again. So there's a lot happening, and it's happening at once, all at the same time, and they affect each other. Yeah,
they certainly do.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot to think about.
Yeah. So, but you know, at the end of it, you know, you've got to remain optimistic that if we get the right outcome and it sets things up for the future and people can get on with their lives, that's great. And if we can do it in a more efficient way, then that's what we should be looking at. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, Neil, we've only got about a minute left, but I wanted to say, I wanted to thank you because I know you were kind of debating whether you'd stand again for mayoralty at the end of the last term. And thank you for doing so because it's really nice to have someone with your level of knowledge and expertise and insight around the table to help create a solution for our future. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Taryn. And you're quite correct. I did leave my decision till fairly late, but you know, one of the neat things about politics is that it's full of surprises, and you never really know what you're going to get. So, but I don't think anyone quite anticipated this. So,
you might be regretting that decision.
Yeah, maybe, but it's certainly been challenging, and it will be challenging over the next little while. But. You know, it's nice to be involved, and I still very much enjoy it.
Good. Well, we enjoy having you there. And thank you for coming into the studio today to talk to us about this and sharing your insight with us. It's lovely to have you here. And next time, We're going to unpack your annual plan.
Alrighty, sounds good.
Mati wa whanau.
Yeah, mati wa.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.